will commence in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week beginning Saturday, August 20th, 2005, this is the RAN Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. Broadband over power lines, BPL, has become a major nemesis for the U.S. amateur radio service and other two-way radio services that operate between 2 and 80 megahertz. While the electrical powers that be are touting BPL's ability to deliver broadband internet access to rural America, there are those who doubt it will fly when push comes to shove. One of those is Alan Pitts, K1AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League.
The spin has begun, and dependent on whom you listen to, October 2004 was anything from BPL Nirvana to overly restrictive. But beyond the hype, we needed to take a good look at what was actually done. Only a little more than a year ago, the complaints of interference potential were met with blank stares, going, interference? What interference? There ain't no interference. At that time, BPL was legal under the FCC rules, subject only to the requirements not to exceed the emission limits, to do their own testing, and not to cause harmful interference. Had the FCC done nothing on the basis of what was in place, BPL could operate without the FCC. That would have been the worst possible outcome. The rulemaking in October was not intended to permit BPL, because it already was permitted. The October issue was harmful interference, and that became front and center of the proceedings. Once the interference issues were openly admitted, and they were in that meeting, next came the certification of BPL equipment. Certification we wanted of the actual system, but we got certification of the equipment. At least that much, that's a definite step forward. There was even the admission that some of the systems currently deployed in testing would not meet the certification requirements. Not only did the FCC say that interference is an important issue, but groups like the IEEE, BPL committee, are also saying that resolving that interference became important, and the ARRL will continue to be a part of that process. To date, several systems have shut down in part to the interference issues, in part to economic issues, and the ARRL will continue to be a major player in the discussion. If systems cause interference, the rules are expected to tighten up on the testing requirements, and instead of allowing manufacturers to do their own testing, we're looking for the FCC to become involved in what will become a much more rigorous certification process. If that happens, it's a major step forward, and the ARRL has requested this instead of just this verification. There was also the addition of a public database, something the BPL industry definitely did not want, nor did they want pre-notification. The database would show by zip codes where the installations are going to be and who to call if there were problems. This issue is still being contended, and this will become a critical issue. In addition, the announcement of BPL installations before they are installed is a plus for hams, allowing us to get accurate background readings before BPL gets turned on in your areas. Exclusion zones were created back in October for the federal and aeronautical users of the spectrum. While the amateur radio services were not part of these excluded zones, as we hoped, it was one more confirmation that the FCC did take the interference issue seriously. They also added the statement that they were going to provide for rapid mitigation, and that was a key word, of interference problems, including shutting the facility totally off if there was harmful interference that could not be quickly corrected. Unlike some past experiences in which the amateurs' problems were denied or claimed to be all fixed, it appeared that the FCC document had some teeth. Unfortunately, to date, not one system causing harmful interference has been cited by the FCC. To expect the FCC to come out with a ruling stopping BPL in its tracks is not realistic. But the actions they did take are more agreeable than what was expected, and yet not as favorable as what we had hoped. Meanwhile, in Congress, House Resolution 230 is on the table calling for a total reevaluation of BPL's interference problems. House Resolution 230, even if the resolution does not pass, if it gains enough support, it will accomplish its mission. The ARRL has participated in testing of a number of BPL marketing trials and has seen interference to radio reception in almost all sites that their staff and volunteers have examined. Please notice I said almost. Currently, only those BPL systems that completely avoid the use of the spectrum allocated to amateur radio appear to have promise of avoiding most of the interference that may occur. They can still cause interference to other services, such as international shortwave broadcasting. One company, Corridor System, uses a microwave system for its version of BPL, and this would seem to have the least interference potential that the ARRL has seen so far. In many cases, BPL proponents have used this to pronounce their marketing trials as being successful, but according to Ed Hare, no BPL trial has included a thorough examination of interference issues if deployed on a large scale, and it is premature to pronounce any of these tests as a success. So the work is just beginning. We convinced the FCC to rein in BPL from some of its initial no problem, no restrictions. We continue to hold the FCC to its promise for rapid mitigation when there are problems. And one manufacturer has even taken us up on the offer that let's work together. Others don't even meet those goals. We will continue to press the interference complaints, and it appears that it may well end up in a court battle. Finally, quietly ignored, but also on that FCC agenda back in October, while the political situation was calling all of the attention to go to BPL, other technologies, including Wi-Fi, fiber optic systems, made great gains. My belief is that they will soon stand to leave BPL in the footsteps of history, like the 8-track tape player.
Alan Pitts, K1AGP, Media and Public Relations Manager for the American Radio Relay League. Alan's BPL observations were voiced during his talk given at the 2005 Dayton Hamvention in Dayton, Ohio. Did you hear last week's RAIN report excerpting a talk by Rich Hambly, W2GPS, about the transitioning of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation? It will remain online at rainreport.com until next weekend, thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. The RAIN Report is copyright 2005 RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.